This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The ground was rolling for an extended period of time. I wouldn't
expect Private Manning.
I sit there and heard a couple screams, and I looked up and I see the kid
in the recall elections that we're going to have a number of.
You're being inappropriate.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, and our Patriot line open at 877-876-PHIL. This is a radio show that goes where the radio shows cannot go, would not go, should not go, and won't go, guaranteed, anytime soon. But we go there. Because we believe in pushing it and pushing it and pushing it until something leaks out. And that thing leaking is called the truth. 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight on KTLK 1150 in Los Angeles, our great flagship station here in Los Angeles, and as well our second flagship in the city of Los Angeles, KFI AM 640 on Saturday nights. And, of course, in Colorado, in Vail, Colorado, KSKE 1450 AM. Three great radio stations on the Phil Hendry Network. And our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Please join us over there. Those of you watching on our video cast this evening, we are in the lobby of the Wheeler Hermitage in Northern California. You can see behind me the very tranquil blue waters of the Wheeler Hermitage. Join us online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can get our archives as well as our live streaming video of the show right now. Phil TV in HD. A disturbing story from San Francisco, which is where we are very close to here in Marin County. A student survives a jump from the Golden Gate Bridge. He jumped for fun. A young man jumping, ladies and gentlemen, from the Golden Gate Bridge. This is a bridge that, as we all know, has been the symbol of lives lost, the symbol of a frustrated and tragic life where people have taken their own lives down through the decades since that magnificent span was built. A span that has enabled commerce, a span that has drawn together two disparate geographical locations in the Bay Area and have drawn them together as one, the Sausalito and Marin County North Bay area with San Francisco, and of course then the resultant Bay Bridge that went to Oakland and still does, of course. Surfer Chris Pecos, he witnessed the jump. He talks with the Associated Press. He uses the term rolling the windows up in this clip. It describes someone trying to maintain their balance.
Sitting there and heard a couple screams, and I looked up and I seen the kid rolling the windows up on his way down, rolling the windows up. And then I closed my eyes. I didn't want to see what him hit the water. As he paddled by, I asked him what he was up to, and he said it was a stunt.
Here is Eric Wagner, another witness to the jump.
He was in okay condition.
And he was swimming on his own?
Yeah, he was swimming on his own. He had a little assistance, you know, just to come back in. But he made it in all right. It was pretty amazing.
17-year-old boy, he jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge while on a school field trip and survived. But he also swam to shore and climbed out of the water. In the middle of this. Now, why are we talking about this? We've got Vernon Dozier on the line from San Francisco. They were there yesterday. In fact, your high school, your football team, Vernon, arrived in the Bay Area there in Novato, correct, yesterday?
It was the day before yesterday, Phil.
And I'm sorry. And you're there for a football camp?
We're in Novato for a football camp, and there are actually some 27 high schools from across the country that are here.
And you guys are there to not only exchange ideas, I understand that there's some pros there.
We've got, yes, a number of professional players. Very exciting for the kids. And we also learned from some of the coaches that have showed up here as well.
So you were in the Bay Area when this took place in what is viewed by some as a miracle. The junior from Windsor High School in Sonoma County jumped Thursday morning and walked away with minimal injuries. On social media websites, some classmates said the teen leaped for kicks or for a thrill. What was your reaction as a teacher?
As an educator and as a coach, you have two different different responses, Phil, as a educator, as a teacher, classroom teacher, and an individual who's in the academic world. I was shocked, and I was very, very worried for the well-being of the not only the student, but what the parents could possibly be thinking. But as a coach, as an instructor in athletics and in competitive sports, I found it to be a move that was bold. I think that the young man, yes, he took his life into his hands, but I think he did something that I think we're going to be thinking about long into the future, Phil. And I heard you referencing it at the top of the show when you said that this bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, has been known as a place where people have taken their lives down through the years. And now here is a young man from a high school, 17 years of age, who had the raw courage to show the world. You jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, no, it does not necessarily mean death. As a matter of fact, a jump off the Golden Gate Bridge can be survived. And I think that's an important message, because the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge has represented nothing but death for decades.
Well, I mean, the Golden Gate Bridge has represented a lot more than death. It's represented, as I said, it's represented commerce and traffic and transportation and connection between geographic areas that geographically, I should say, up to that point, you had to take a big, wide turn around the bay to get to.
That may well be, and I'm not going to dispute that with you, because that's the perspective that you have. But when that young man jumped from that bridge, I don't think anybody was thinking about commerce or how it drew together Sausalito and San Francisco. I think people were thinking and remembering the countless human beings that have jumped off that bridge and didn't survive it, the countless human beings who did not have the physical stamina, who didn't have, obviously, the psychological stamina, and who were swallowed up by the bay. And in so being swallowed up by the bay, were remembered as people at the end of their rope, people at the end of their lives who decided that they had to end it all by jumping off. And here is a young man who laughed in the face of all of that and said, "Well, I'm going to jump off the bridge." And I laugh right in the face of anyone that thinks I'm going to die, and I laugh in the face of all those that went before me. I can't imagine that's what he's thinking. But
what do you think he was thinking? I mean, you're giving him you're talking about this kid as some kind of a heroic person. You understand he's 17 years of age, and Vernon, for you to say that the kid is heroic is almost irresponsible, in that it gives the idea to others.
Well, hold on for a minute, Phil. You know,
well, other kids that are listening thinking, wow, that coach thinks that's heroic. I bet you I could impress my coach if I went out there and I jumped.
No, that would be a disturbed young person who took that jump without first knowing that he'd be able to survive that. Now, that would be a mentally ill young person, someone who, and we've seen them, they cut themselves, they tie towels around their necks. We've seen the kind of kid you're talking about, a kid who cuts himself and squeezes his neck with a towel and is constantly lighting firecrackers, constantly lighting cherry bombs. These are disturbed people. I'm talking about a healthy young man walking to the edge of that bridge, looking at it and saying, "I'm jumping off this bridge, and then I'm going to come out of the water. I'm going to go up to that street there. I'm going to either flag a cab or hitchhike to a Burger King or what have you, and guess what?"
Well, all right, so you really attribute to this kid...
Let me explain something to you. You know that I went to the bridge with my football team, right?
No, I did not.
You did not hear about that. That's I thought I was called by Mr. Ransom.
When I called you up, I knew you were in the Bay Area. We called you up to find out if you had a comment on this story. You took your team over there?
We took the team over there today, yes, absolutely.
And what did you take the team over there for?
Well,
did you take them over there to show them the heroic kid that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge?
No, because that kid was... I'm not going to show them the kid. The kid wasn't there.
Well, did you take them over there to talk to them how great this was?
I took them over. I took my football team, my varsity football team. And these are kids, Phil, that are some are 6'5", 6'6", and weigh close to 300 pounds. These are big, big kids. And they think that they are all this. They think that they're indestructible. And I took them over to that bridge. And I said, this is where that 17-year-old from Windsor High jumped. He's about a half-size, some of you guys. He jumped and he survived. Now, here's what I said to them. I want you to remember this, Phil. I said to them, none of you have got the guts.
That's great.
What does that mean?
Now, let me just give this to you straight here, Coach. What are you trying to say to young people when you praise the actions of a 17-year-old kid?
I'm not saying anything. I'm stating a fact, Phil. The fact is, that kid had the guts to try something nobody had ever tried before, which is to jump off that bridge and live. Now, everybody that jumped off that bridge ahead of that kid died. And everybody that jumped off that bridge ahead of that kid wanted to die.
And, well, not everybody died.
Oh, okay. Well, not everybody died, but everybody wanted to die. That's the first kid to jump off that bridge who wanted to live, who could taste life and embrace life and put his arms around life and said, as much as I love life and as much as I want to live and live to be a ripe old age and live to have babies and a wife and all of this, I'm jumping off that bridge. I'm jumping off, I'm getting out of the water, and I'm having something to eat. Now, I said to my student, is that's what you're talking about?
What you're doing here is you are giving this kid that jumped off the bridge a patina of heroism. Well, you know, and Coach, you and I have known each other for a long time. I understand that you're a football coach, and I understand that you appreciate a certain level of machismo, and all of these things are marvelous. You know, I get that. But what I don't understand is you praising this kid openly on our radio program. You know full well there's some kids out there that are going to hear this stuff and going to think that it is inappropriate. Do you think it's a healthy thing to do?
Do I think what is a
Do you think it's a healthy thing for a kid to walk to the edge of the Golden Gate Bridge there and say, wow, I can do this, and jump?
If he believes, am I going to stop him from doing it? I'm not going to be, you're not going to trick me into saying, yeah, I'm going to say, if there's somebody out there who believes he can do something, I can never stop them. I will never be able to stop them. You'll never be able to stop them.
And well, so tell me what you did with your team.
With my football team, I took them over to the bridge, and I said, a young man jumped off the edge of this bridge today, yesterday actually. I said, and he did something that none of you have got the guts. None of you have got the guts to do. And I was right.
And you were right, meaning what?
Meaning not one of them took me. I said, I challenge any one of you to jump off this bridge. I knew they wouldn't. I knew they wouldn't, so I felt comfortable in saying I challenge any one of you guys to jump off this bridge the way that kid did, and not one of them had the guts. You see, you have got to show these young people that they are not as tough as they think they are. Not a one of them had the guts like that kid did.
877-876-PHIL is our number here. 877-876-7445. As we talk about this 17-year-old kid that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, I've got a high school educator with me, a high school football coach who calls it a heroic and an amazing feat and challenged his own players to do it. And people are going to think you're psycho and crazy. And
well, I let them think I'm psycho and crazy. There's a method to my madness.
Well, there may be the method to your madness, in other words, is to humiliate your players.
No, my mother, no. The method of my madness, yes, is to humiliate my player. The method of my madness is I know there's not one player on my team with the guts to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. I don't think there's anybody out there in America. There isn't one football player out there who's got the guts. Not the raw guts. Not the guts that it takes to do that kind of thing. And so I felt very good when I said to them, go ahead, jump.
What about you?
What about me? What?
Why don't you jump?
I don't have to dignify that with a response.
Oh, see, this is what I'm talking about. You're talking about guts.
No, I've got the guts to jump off the Golden Gate. I want to make a point here, and I want you to hear it, and I want your audience to hear it. I've got the guts to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. I've got the guts. Don't worry. So I'm not going to dignify your challenge. This wasn't about me. This is about my players. This is about my soft players and the soft kids of America who haven't got a pair, not a healthy pair, big enough to jump off that Golden Gate Bridge. So I'm not worried that kids are going to do it, because we don't have any kids with guts like that. But we've got that young man, that young boy at Windsor High School in Sonoma County. He got out of the water, walked to his car. I think they went to an In-N-Out.
In-N-Out Burger.
That's exactly right. How about that? How about that for guts?
All right, 877. I think you're crazy, man. And
okay, man.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Do you think that this is a reasonable thing? You know, I really don't know, Vernon, how you feel about this, but I believe it's irresponsible for you to talk about that young man in heroic terms. Should we? Because he tried something that had never been tried before, because he survived something that had never been survived before. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Coach Vernon Dozier in a moment.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
What we have talked about for a long time, you know. I'm sorry, we're back with Vernon Dozier on the Phil Hendry Show, a high school coach from Glendale, California. They're in the Bay Area for a football clinic, and a young man, 17 years of age, from Sonoma County, jumps off the Golden Gate Bridge. And you and I have talked many times, Vernon, and there are times when I think you will encourage, not just you, but we can encourage our young people in ways it's completely irresponsible, completely dangerous, because we want them to be a chip off the old block.
I don't know. What does that mean, a chip off the old...
Because we want them to do something tough that we think we would have done at that age. 9 times out of 10, we never had the guts to do that.
Mr. Henry, if you're referring to me again, I've got to just go back to what I said initially. I've got the guts to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, and you're intimating that I don't have the guts. I've got the guts.
Well, all right. Then why didn't you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge?
I'm not going to dignify that with...
Oh, come on, man. You and I both know that it's easy to blow a lot of hot air about something. It's easy to say, well, I've got the guts to do this, I've got the guts to do that, I've got the guts to do something else. It's another thing entirely to be able to do it, right? It's another thing entirely to be able to say that this is something that I'm going to do or I want to do and that I will do. You have not done that, and you have not shown me or the audience, I don't think, you know, exactly what you're made of. And you got this kid who is...
Well, that is a very challenging thing to say. What am I made of?
Because I hear a lot of bravado because some kid did something and survived. What would you have said if that kid had died?
I would have said, Mr. Hendry, what I've said before when someone jumps off the Golden Gate Bridge. I collected my junior varsity team back in the summer when someone died, and I said, there's another one that died. And that's all I said. And they knew what I was talking about, too. And we went out and we hit our two-a-days. All I had to do was stand there and say, there's another one that's dead.
What are you talking about? They understand what you mean?
They absolutely understand what I mean. So they know that I've talked about jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge and surviving it just the same way that Jack LaLanne, who everybody kissed his you-know-what when he died because he was tugging a rowboat with his teeth. But I talk about jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, and you think that I was one of these, man, oh, man, you think I was a pervert, and I've got two little boys living in my apartment that I kidnapped, like a thing I seen on TV today.
I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I don't...
Well, no, I know you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about, the Golden Gate Bridge, and they know what you're talking about. I'm simply saying responsibility that you and I have talked about a lot. Louisville, Kentucky, here is Bobby on the Phil Hendry Show, listening on WLRS. Go ahead, Bobby. Great way to start, guys. Good job. Here is Joe in Chico, California. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, just scrolling through the channels, and I started hearing this conversation. I don't know the coach's name, but I think he's a jerk, you know, sitting there telling his kids they ain't got the guts. Superintendent needs to fire you or him or whoever the coach is. You don't sit there and want to challenge your kids to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, you're playing with their lives. What if one of them has a bad fall and hits the water?
They haven't got the guts.
I don't think you have the guts to do it.
I've got the guts.
I don't think
these
you
kids
do.
Don't have
you're
the guts.
You're all talk.
You think? Do you? Do you?
You're all
you?
Talk. You ain't got the guts.
See,
I don't have the guts. I ain't stupid enough.
See, there you go. You don't have the guts, and that's what's wrong with this country. That's what's wrong with this country.
A role model like you for a coach is what's wrong with this country.
No, that young boy that jumped off the bridge and survived doesn't get any praise. That's what's wrong with this country.
No, right? That kid was called me on the coach.
No, you remember what you said. You don't have the guts. You don't have the guts to do it. No, you don't.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk here with Vernon Dozier, the head football coach at Belmar Academy. They're in the Bay Area of San Francisco for the next couple of days. And they are there on a mission that many young high school football players are on during the springtime and the summertime, and that is to go to a football camp. And nobody doubts how good you are as a coach, Coach Dozier. But a 17-year-old kid from another high school jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge over the last couple of days and survived. And you came on this broadcast, as I knew you would, praising that.
That's exactly what I did, yes.
And saying that took guts.
Yes, sir, that is exactly what I did.
And you said also that you challenged your own players to do the same thing.
That is exactly right.
All right, now let me just interrupt here. That's the dangerous part of this. That is an adult athletic coach, a football coach, and a football coach, by the way, with a reputation for winning and training and conditioning athletes.
That is exactly the reputation I've got. So why do you ask those questions, Mr. Hendry? Remember who you're talking to. Okay.
All right, but you're asking these kids jump off the Golden Gate Bridge like this one, saying you know none of them have got the guts.
They do not have the guts, and I don't need to know my players to know that. I can look around me. In a country today, the United States of America, where we're growing our young people like we, you know, like we don't take a diaper off of them until they're 18, that's basically what we're doing. I know that physically the diaper comes off at whatever age a diaper comes off, but in a spiritual sense, if you will, or a cosmic sense, we've got young people wearing a diaper all the way through 18. You want to be funny about it, like a cosmic diaper. They're wearing a psychology diaper. And I know this, and that's why I said to them, I want you guys to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. And I look at all of them, and I know you haven't got the guts.
Did you say that to these kids?
Yes, I did.
All right, so what if some kid, after being humiliated and told he hasn't got the guts, what if he says, I'm going to prove it to Coach, I'm going to jump off the bridge?
Then he will have had the guts and will survive. Because one thing...
How do you know he'll survive?
Because one thing I instill in my players is that you've got to have the conditioning and the skill to do something like that. So, Mr. Hendry, you are talking to a guy that's been down this road. I know my players won't jump off the Golden Gate Bridge unless they feel they have the skill and conditioning for it. I've got the guts to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, so I don't have to prove it to anybody. My players don't have the guts, and that kid did have the guts. And I'm sorry if I know myself and I know my players well enough to say those things.
This is exactly what's wrong with this country. You know that.
Are you talking about me?
I'm talking about these asinine challenges to bravado and macho, which wind up killing young men. Because we've got another generation of young men coming up, and I don't see them any brighter than the generation that went before them or before them. A bunch of guys with something to prove. And when you tell a kid to test himself by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, you're inviting a test of bravado and a machismo that has killed millions before him. Okay?
And you know this how?
Because I was a kid once, man. I was a young man once. I didn't jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, but we damn sure took automobiles and drove them recklessly at high speeds through the most dangerous situations. I can't believe I'm walking around upright.
Well, you know what, Phil? That shows how, excuse me for saying this, because I think you're a good guy, but that shows how stupid you were as a kid. You must have been one dumb kid to do something like that.
But these guys jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge are smart.
Did the kid survive?
I survived going 90 miles an hour down El Molino in Pasadena.
You survived? What is El Molino in Pasadena?
It's about the narrowest, most treacherous piece of surface street in the whole city. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Talking here with Vernon Dozier, 877-876-7445 on the kid that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and survived. Was it a stupid thing to do, or did that kid prove, prove something, that he had the guts? Here is... All right, we'll take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Vernon Dozier, and Vernon Dozier, one of the head coaches there at Belmar Academy for the football team, and they were in San Francisco for a football camp. Are you guys back in town now?
No, we're still in the Bay Area. As a matter of fact, we're having dinner this evening, and I took time out to, I just heard you address your staff over some technical difficulties, Mr. Hendry, and you were very pointed and you were very direct. And
I'm talking to adult men, okay?
You're talking to adult men, but you were...
I'm talking to adult men. I'm not talking to a bunch of high school students like you are. Talking to a bunch of kids under age 18 and under, guys, who are still young people.
Challenging my players to get basic technical problems solved, and the problem is, have they got the guts
to jump off?
Had the guts to do it. I don't know his name, and it doesn't matter, but he was 17 years old, and he had the guts. Now,
all right, he had the guts. Now, let's talk about you. You say you have the guts.
I there is no question in my mind, no question whatsoever, that I have the guts to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. I use the word guts. Now, let me tell you why I use the word guts. It's a very specific word. It has nothing to do intestinal fortitude. It doesn't have anything to do with any of this. When I talk about guts, I'm talking about just the real raw emotion that it takes to stand there on the edge of the separation of whatever you want to call the separation of the...
The railing?
Yeah, the railing. And to jump. Now, Phil, you want to do it? Okay. I did jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. As a matter of fact, I just remembered. Here's the sound of me jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. That was a joke that Bill Cummings put me up to that, Phil. I'm sorry.
Well, that was a toilet flushing, right?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like an appropriate sound effect.
And what is that supposed to mean?
Well, you know, come on, Vernon. You walked right into it. You got a toilet flushing.
What is that supposed to mean, sir?
You've got a toilet flushing. That's you jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah, but you said that's an appropriate sound effect.
Because what you're talking about, in my opinion, is a lot of crap. Okay?
So you do not believe that I have, again, let's use that word. It's a very specific word. That I don't have the guts.
No, I don't believe you have the guts to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, and I think you asking young people under the age of 18 if they have the guts is highly irresponsible. Here is Rod. Okay, I don't have control over this damn. Here is Rod on the Phil Hendry Show in Louisville. Go ahead, Rod.
Yeah, I want to know where this man gets the right to tell kids to jump off a bridge. When he's supposed to be an educated man and be a coach and have the brains to coach the kids and tell them to jump off a bridge, so one of them could get killed and be sued and take care of the school for suing.
Really? The fact is that young man jumped off the bridge in San Francisco and lived. You heard about that.
Yeah,
you read about
care.
That in the newspaper. Yeah. All right. Now, let me just finish. That young man jumped off the bridge and lived. You know why? Because he had the skill, the guts, and the training and the conditioning to do it. And what I'm saying is, that's what I want my young people to have, the guts, the training, and the skill to be able to take on a challenge that nobody else can take on. And, you know, for the longest time, sir, they used to say if you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, you're going to die, because that's where everybody commits suicide. You're aware of that, right?
No, you know I'm that, aware right? of that. I'm aware that you can go to jail for telling your kids to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. It's like parachute.
No,
it is illegal to do that. Do you know that?
No, it's not.
You are
no, it's not illegal. No, it's not. No, when you say, you don't even know.
About jumping off a bridge, you could be killed at.
Wait a minute. You said jumping off is supposed to tell them. I could say, have you got the guts to do that?
Have
you got the guts to do it?
That's stupidity.
Let me ask you, kid.
You're stupid. Along with the people that you work for, if they let you keep working for them.
You know why you're talking like that? Because you haven't got the guts. That's why you're talking that way. And you're a cop, because I can hear the cop car radio. Is that a cop
radio?
You
know what? I got brains. You ain't got no brains. Bye. See you later.
See you later. Get out of here. You haven't got the guts to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. How do you like that?
If that was a police officer, I think he knows what he's talking about. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show here with Vernon Dozier, a high school coach from Glendale, California, as we talk about the experience yesterday of a 17-year-old kid. Boy, what a weird and tragic news day it was yesterday, from the tsunami and the earthquake in Japan to the story of this 17-year-old kid who jumped off the bridge and lived.
That was the thing, Phil. That I think caught you people by surprise.
Is that what caught us people by surprise? The fact that a 17-year-old boy who could very well have died, I thought maybe he was suicidal.
No, he wasn't. That's the whole point. I wish you would understand that that was not a suicidal act. That was the act of a kid. You want to know why a lot of these adult men are calling in and angry at me? Because a kid, a punk 17-year-old kid, had more guts than them. Now think about that.
Oh, get with it, okay?
No, you get with it. A punk 17-year-old kid had more guts.
You love that word, don't you?
That word is more courage, if you want to call it. A 17-year-old boy had more courage than you or any of these men calling in. I'm not knocking you, but I think you've got to face the facts. And I think your callers, many of your male callers, have got to face up to the fact that that boy... some surfer, and that's the thing that it kind of killed me when I found out the kid was a surfer, which, man, he didn't play any high school sports that I'm aware of, but he was some surf bum. And
how do you know he's a surf bum?
Well, he was cutting school. He was on a field trip. He sounded like a surf bum to me. I never heard of him. I don't think he did any high school sports. He's some bum. Who spent most of his time probably, you know, and let's say it. I mean, he probably spends most of his time smoking this marijuana or something, and waxing up his board and hanging around the beach like a bum, like nothing more than a common bum. And I'm a football coach, and I bring my players down there, winners of Division II last year, are all league, and not a one of them has got the guts to do what some surf punk had the guts to do.
And let me ask you something. If you have the guts, okay.
That's not if I do.
All right. If you do have the guts. So if you have the guts, why didn't you show your players what it was like?
What, show them what it was like?
Yeah. Why didn't you jump and say, look at this. Here's how you do it.
No, that's what they... It's too easy. It's way too easy.
And what's easy about that?
I beg your pardon?
What is easy about that? If you don't think your players have the guts, and you admire that kid who did it, and you do, why didn't you jump off the bridge and say, look, I'm going to do it, I'm going to show you how, and if there's anybody that doesn't have the skill, let me show you how. Why didn't you do that?
You know, I'm not going to dignify that.
Oh, you never want to dignify anything. I think you're full of crap, unless you want to dignify what I'm saying.
I'm full of crap. I played that toilet flush sound, and you have used that to denigrate me, Phil. I'm a high school football coach. I coach young people.
No, I know what you do for a living, and I've got your credentials, and I know how great you are, and I know how fantastic, and you got the guts and all of this stuff, but you don't want to jump off that bridge, and you're giving crap to everybody else that says you're insane.
They're telling me that I'm insane because they don't have the courage to admit they haven't got the guts.
And I heard that one cop say he didn't have the guts. I heard another guy say that he didn't have the guts.
No, they said they weren't stupid. That's a whole different thing. That's a way of saying, I've got the guts, but I'm not stupid. That's what they're saying. No, let me tell you about young people, because I've coached them for a long time.
You got nothing to say to me about young people. Coach Dozier, I am telling you that your manner with those young people on the same day that this kid could have killed himself, and I asked you the question, you wouldn't answer it, what would you have done if that kid had killed himself, and you just said, oh, he knew what he was doing.
I didn't put that kid up to what he did.
I'm not saying that you did, but if that kid had killed himself or otherwise had been hurt, I wonder what you would have said to those players then.
I never would have taken him to the bridge because I would have known that it was another one. I want to tell you something, Mr. Andrew.
What is this horse dung you were giving me about how another one died?
It is not horse dung. You know, I love it. I love it. I love it no end. I love it when I'm winning an argument.
And how's that happening?
It's happening because you are you're bouncing all over the place. Last summer, I told my players for at least the last 5 years that people who jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, I've made note of it. I brought in the press clippings and everything. And last summer, someone died. I came in, I told the players, another one, there's another one. And they knew exactly what I was saying. All I had to do is say, I put a big chalk X on the board. I said, one more down the toilet. And one of the reasons why I played that toilet flush sound effect is because that's what we've got handy every time we hear about someone jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. And I'll say to Ray Sherrick, who's our defensive line coach, I'll say, Coach Sherrick, another one. You hear this? And every time they play that, the boys know
that another poor soul jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and died. And you find that funny?
Did I call it funny, Mr. Henry? I said it's a challenge.
And you play a toilet flush.
Yes, I play a toilet flush, just like I played the toilet flush when I jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. You didn't know what it meant because I should have played. I should have explained it first. But then I said I jumped off the bridge. See that there?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you think you're funny, huh?
I'm funnier than you.
Well, the point that I'm making is my players know that we pay attention to the Golden Gate Bridge, and we pay attention to who jumps and who doesn't. Who lives and who doesn't. And guess what? Everybody dies. Until yesterday. And that's when I said to the players, and we were up at Sonoma State, and I said, guess what? And they all went, phew, they made the toilet flush sound effect with their mouths. I said, no, the guy lived. We're going to go down there. And it was exciting for the kids. We took a field trip down to the bridge and stood there, looked out over the edge of the bridge, and I said to them, how many of you have got the guts to jump? And they all said, oh, not me, Coach. I said, well, I figured as much. I said, I knew every last one of you doesn't have the guts. This is my way of impressing upon my players, Phil, that it takes a lot more than just a bright smile, a big toothy smile, and a strong arm, and a will to win and all this. You've got to have something inside of you that kicks and screams and fights to live. You've got to have something inside of you that refuses to lose, that will jump off the Golden Gate Bridge before you lose a game, that will walk into the teeth of a machine gun nest before you lose a football game. That's what I teach my players. I teach my players to despise losing so much that they would rather dive off the Golden Gate Bridge than lose. That's what I teach my players.
You think that that's a way to survive, to be suicidal if you can't win a football game?
I didn't say suicidal.
Yes, you did. You said walk into the teeth of a machine gun.
I'm telling you that what I am preaching is American values. And
no, we talk about American values on this show. And American values are great, and they're wonderful to impress upon young people, and they're wonderful to impress upon each other. But I will tell you something. If you want to talk like a badass, talk that way with other men. Talk that way with other women. Talk that way with adults. You don't talk that way to kids that are still forming their personalities, their view of the world. We've got to take care of these kids.
I've been an educator for 30 years. You're telling me?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Because the stuff you've been laying on me in this program tonight is appalling. talking about how, another one bit the dust, and you're talking to your... What is that?
I think you know what that means. You symbolize to me a guy that might as well jump.
Is that right?
That's right.
All right, well, I'm going to finish what I'm saying, regardless of what you think. The fact is that we need strong people, but we don't build strong people until we have these kids where they need it. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
Yes, it does. You know it bothers you. You know it bothers you.
No, it doesn't bother me. Stop doing it, okay?
See?
No. We need kids who are strong. We need kids who know what they're doing.
You're just going. You're taking one dive after the next. Right into the bay. Flush, flush, flush.
Well, you know something? The first time you used that was the sound of you jumping into the bay, so I guess that means you're one gigantic turd, huh?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. The toilet was flushing. I was just finishing up.
Anyway, Vernon Dozier on the Phil Henry Show.
What are you hanging up for?
I hung up because he's a jackass. Okay? A jackass? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up next, Rob Barnes from Madison on the passage of that decertification bill by Scott Walker.
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I think we're going to see in the recall elections that we're going to have a number of Republicans lose their seats.
And he was in okay condition.
And he was swimming on his own?
With respect to Private Manning, first and foremost, our thoughts and our prayers.
Almost as big as me.
A little bit loose.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the News Talk, an entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could go. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhenryshow.com, and It's always fun. I got to tell you, for the first time in a long time, I'm laughing at least, and that's a good thing. Governor Scott Walker officially cuts collective bargaining in Wisconsin. Joining us to discuss this is union member Rob Barnes, who's been one of our go-to guys there in Madison about this, and we're going to talk with him momentarily about what this all means and how he will fare and how others will fare as well. Other union members. I mean, it's like, yeah, folks, you know that we're not dealing here with a union full of workmen and apprentices and so forth who work in private industry. We're dealing with a union that works for you and for me. We're dealing with a union. I know it's the Wisconsin State Union, but we also have federal public employees, we have federal employees, and we're the employers. We're the ones that pay. We're the ones that, it's out of our pockets. So this is not a strike by auto workers. This is not the Teamsters going out. This isn't the people that are checkers at Kroger's or at Ralph's going out. This isn't the Screen Actors Guild. This isn't the stage workers or the Actors Equity. This isn't a bunch of Hollywood writers. It's not coal miners. It is a public employee union, so they are out there screaming their guts loose because you and me can't afford it. We cannot afford it. All right, I got to watch it because I've got Rob coming on the line here, and Rob has been a good man, and he's been very, very fair to be on the line with us here on the Phil Henry Show at night, so we're going to get him up on the line here. I don't know where... where he is. Have we got Rob? Rob Barnes, you there?
Yeah, Phil, right here.
Okay, Rob, thank you. I apologize. We were having a difficult time kind of getting up on the line there. So Scott Walker has succeeded, at least that's what the story is here, on Friday in taking away nearly all collective bargaining rights from the vast majority of the state's public employees. He's capped weeks of contentious debate and delivering an epic defeat, they say, to the labor movement in a private bill signing. Your thoughts?
Well, what are my thoughts going to be when you know, I listen to the comments that you made, and you were very clear, you know, there's an anti-union sense in this country that we have not had since the early days of Ronald Reagan, and we are obviously more than disappointed. I am personally devastated because a way of life is coming to an end for union workers in this country, and the fight, it feels as if the fight has been sucked completely out of me. But I want to give you an idea, Phil, as to what it is Scott Walker has done. I've been a teacher for many years. What Scott Walker has done to me and to other public employees, teachers or otherwise, he has destroyed that portion of the middle class, people such as myself, my son going to a good school, my wife not having to work. We live in a beautiful home. All of that has come to an end. And I got
to
tell you,
all of that has come to an end. You can still afford to live in your house.
I can still afford it. I'm not trying to be melodramatic. I can still afford to live in my home. There's a bigger thing. You think that it's all about material things. It's about how you feel about yourself. It's about how your son looks at you. When I came home and my wife is crying because of this defeat, I was not in the best mood, and my son. This affects my son. And he sees his mother crying. He sees his father come through the door with my hands in my pockets. I was not feeling good, and my son is very, very worried. He says, Daddy, what's wrong with you, Daddy? And for the first time in my life, my son looked at me and said, Daddy, is there something wrong with you? I said, there's nothing wrong with Daddy. I said, I'm always going to be here for you. But I didn't tell him the truth. There is something wrong with me. I am disappointed in my state. I'm disappointed in my governor. I'm disappointed in my country.
So the overall reaction for you has been depression, Rob. Is it the same with others?
I would imagine it is. But I think you're wrong when you say depression. I have had an angry reaction. As a matter of fact, I had a very angry reaction later this afternoon after I had left to go for a walk. I was going to walk down to the Capitol building and sort of reminisce a little bit and think back on happier times just a few weeks ago when we were there in the Capitol building and we were winning and we were, you know, proud of ourselves and proud of the things we were doing. And it was a bittersweet moment when I came up on the Capitol building there, and then there was a dog that was barking. And here's the anger part, Bill, and I think people need to understand this. There's still anger. There's still a lot of anger over what Scott Walker did to me, what he did to other workers. And there was a dog that was a woman had come down the front stoop of her house and was doing some sweeping, and there was a small animal, a small dog that had come out of the house and had come down these steps toward me. And I was looking at the Capitol building and thinking back when Michael Moore was there. And this dog was barking as small dogs will. You know, we've had dogs my whole life, and we love dogs. And I'm an animal lover. But at that moment, this dog was barking and barking and barking. And the sound of this animal barking was as if enough anger had already been directed at the public employees. We have been vilified and hated. We've been talked about as if we are traitors. We've been talked about as if we got the good life. We have been yacked at and screamed at and yelled at. And so I'm hearing it all through the barking of this dog. And I look down, and it's yak, 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 bark, bark, bark. And may God forgive me, but I picked that dog up and I kicked it across the street.
Oh, God.
I did, Phil.
Good Lord. You picked up that animal and kicked it?
Yes, I did. Yes, I'm being very honest with you. Yes, I did.
You kicked it? How hard did you kick the thing? You say you kicked it across the street?
Yes, I did.
Well, did you injure the animal?
There was no apparent injury. The woman was yelling at me, and I waved her off. I kept on walking. I had to talk to a police officer. Madison police officer was called, and so I've been summoned to court for animal cruelty. I don't know if the animal. I don't know, Phil, but this is anger. Do you understand? Let's look at the large.
But for you to you took your anger out on a dog, you know.
Well, you know, you're a very interesting guy for a conservative, Phil, that you've suddenly turned into an animal rights activist.
This isn't animal rights. It's no. This has got nothing to do with animal rights. It's about humanity. Humane, you know, they call it the Humane Society. Our humanity and what makes us, we like to think, what makes us separate from the animal kingdom is that we do have empathy for other living creatures. We feel that, you know, and we sense them, and to some degree we respect them, you know.
Absolutely. I agree with that 1,000,000%. You know?
And in your anger, you picked that dog up and kicked it.
I kicked it across the street. I didn't kick it over a house. I kicked it across the street. And
you kicked it across the street. Did the animal? Did you kick it on the street? Was the animal kicked through the air?
The animal was kicked partially through the air, and he hit the street, and he was across the street. And the Madison police have summoned me. They printed me a summons for animal cruelty.
And you're going to fight that, or what? You know, look, you know.
Yes, of course I'm going
to
fight it.
You know, I got to tell you something, Rob. We've talked to you over the couple of weeks. I like you a lot.
Thank you.
You know, there comes a time when the fight is over, and we move on, and we try to fight the good fight another time. What you've done is you've compounded your problem. You know.
No, I don't need that, Phil. Please, I don't need any lecturing right now. What I did was understandable. It was in the heat of the moment.
I don't think it's understandable at all. You know, I just got done talking to a head coach here on the West Coast who said that this kid that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, you're a teacher, this kid that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, what guts he had, man. You know.
Well, that's plain crazy, you know.
Yeah, but you're talking about kicking a dog across the street.
Well, I think there's a big difference, Phil, between putting a young person's life at risk and taking a little dog that you've seen these women that have these dogs. And taking it and doing something, I have to tell you, that I think a lot of people have dreamed of. A lot of people have dreamed of, and I say that, you know. That
you know, if you're kicking a dog because you feel like kicking a dog, that's worse than kicking the animal because you had a moment of anger, you know.
I gotta tell you something. I have watched this process here in Madison. I looked at CNN when they sent this man out to cover the news story, and it was a man. They said it was a woman. It was a man, and he interviewed me. And
what are you talking about?
There's a brunette that actually is on CNN right now, who is a man, and I think she's a transgender, however you want to say it. I don't mind transgender people. Please don't tell me though that it's a woman when I know it full well it's a man. And to me, that was mocking me, and it was mocking my coworkers at a time when Scott Walker has destroyed the public union and the middle class. I kick a dog, and the mocking of myself and my fellow workers continues.
I don't understand what you mean about CNN.
They sent a reporter that is a man, but was a man, but's a woman now. But I don't think she has fully had her surgery. But all they said was, we're going to send a woman to interview you. Well, I know full well it had to be a man.
And you say she's on TV right now?
That's correct, yeah.
On what channel?
It's CNN. She's the anchor, but right now they're interviewing another guy.
With me here is Rob Barnes. I don't know what's going on. Rob is stressed out. A lot of the union employees there in Wisconsin are stressed out. They have had themselves. They have been dealt a defeat by Scott Walker. Rob was so angry and frustrated that he kicked a dog, a small dog, and kicked it hard enough to kick it right across a street, and has been ticketed by the Madison police for animal cruelty. The disturbing part about this is he says to me, well, it's entirely understandable what I did given what's happened to us. What has happened to the public union in Wisconsin? And is it so debilitating, insulting, and injurious that if one of them were to get so angry he kicked a dog, it's understandable? This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots. Our Patriot line open at 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico. The screen that we have, if you're looking at our video cast this evening, the still that we have behind us is from the Wheeler Hermitage. We are near the Placidity Pool, or whatever they call it. It's a very peaceful looking pool. I'm not much one for these kinds of aromatherapy spas. I do enjoy the occasional massage, but we thank Dean nonetheless for providing a photograph of his place. All right, our number 877-876-7445. With me here is Rob Barnes from the state of Wisconsin. He is a public employee. They have lost their collective bargaining fight. Scott Walker cut the collective bargaining, much of the collective bargaining rights from these public union people. And we were very much supporters of the efforts of Governor Walker, very much supporters of the efforts of governors and public officials across the country who have said, we got to get our heads out of our rear ends and quit spending money we haven't got. And I am reminded, as you are, of a president named Ronald Reagan who took the Air Traffic Controllers Union and ripped it to shreds when they threatened to pull the same stunt in the middle of a recession in the early 1980s. It was a man by the name of Robert Poli, who was the head of the Air Traffic Controllers Union, and he was going to send all of his men out on strike, and Ronald Reagan said, if you do, you're fired. And that was the end, the bitter end of the Air Traffic Controllers Union in the United States of America. After the bill's passing, here is Governor Scott Walker chiding the Democrats in the Senate for skirting their duties.
The fact of the matter is we live in a democracy, and to participate in the democracy, you got to be in the arena. And the fact that 3 weeks ago they gave up the right, every day they stayed out of the Capitol, to have a vote on that measure. You can't mail in your vote.
Former Democratic National Chairman Howard Dean talks to MSNBC about the consequences of this so-called class warfare.
I think we're going to see in the recall elections that we're going to have a number of Republicans lose their seats, and we're probably going to have a recall of the governor, and I think that'll be successful in 2011. Look, this is what the Republicans always do. They always overplay their hand. They're very good at messaging in elections, and they're very bad at governing because they can't resist their own ideology, and the public doesn't agree with it. The public knows this is, in fact, class warfare against middle-class people. Their allegiances are to the David Kochs of the world and to big corporations.
I don't understand how Howard Dean can make a statement like that when Scott Walker is a publicly elected and popularly elected governor of the state of Wisconsin. Getting back on the line here is Rob Barnes. What do you think of – you think Scott Walker's done?
I think Scott Walker is done. I think these Republicans are done. I think that there has to be some justice for those of us who have been in the public union for a long time in a public arena. What's happened to me is at the end of a very tough day, I get dragged in front of a cop, okay? And I was able to avoid cops for most of this public appeal, Phil. We don't even call it a public protest. We call it a public appeal to the sensibility and the brains of the Republicans, and it didn't work. And so at the end of this, where we're decertified and everything, I get called in front of a cop, and I get written a ticket because I kick a dog. And
a dog is a, you know, I can't explain. You don't understand why that's a bad thing.
Of course. I love dogs. I love that. Now, you said something else. The second part of it was a bad thing. Do you think it's bad that a human being... And
I don't think it is good, and I don't think it's reflective of a good humanity or a good humanitarian sense that you lose a job or you lose a political fight and you take it out on an animal.
That is not humanitarian, but that's funny.
No, humanitarian sense applies to our humanity. Our humanity.
Yes, our humanity. To humans, being human.
No, it has to do with being a human, and part of being a human is having compassion and a charitable instinct toward all living things, even plants human beings become attached to.
Well, you got a great way of being a conservative. You switch this all around and you make me look like I'm the Nazi, and I'm the one that got shoved out the door. I'm the one, along with thousands of other union workers, who got pushed out the side of an open door on an aircraft today, figuratively speaking, but it was like we were, they opened the door to say, do you want to see the view, and then kicked us out over mountains.
877-876-PHIL, interesting analogy, 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. On the line is Julia from Pensacola, Florida. Go ahead, Julia, you're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, the guy that I'm talking about kicking the dog, I think he's wrong for kicking the dog, and he should have gotten a ticket for it, because if he's frustrated, don't kick a dog or a human being. I mean, dogs, why a dog? Anybody. If he's frustrated,
well, I can tell you,
don't take it out of a dog.
Can I ask you, have you ever been bit by a small dog especially? I've been bit by small dogs. Small dogs bite. You know how small dogs are. They're extremely yappy, and they yap their guts out. What's that? Is that music?
Hold the line, will you, Julia? I took the phone call a little early, okay? You hang on. 877-876-PHIL. I wasn't supposed to take any phone calls. I'm sorry. We were testing the phone lines. But we'll come back to Julia. Well, she's gone now. Anyway, Phil Hendry Show.
I wanted to talk to her about kicking a dog.
Phil Hendry.
I loved it.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
877-876-7445. That's right. It's the number here with Rob Barnes from Madison, Wisconsin, on the governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, officially cutting collective bargaining. And we were talking about your depression, Rob, and others in your union.
A lot of people are depressed. This is not just about me. I didn't want to come on and talk just about me.
I understand that, but in part of your reaction was that you had such anger. Was this after you left the House?
Hold on for a minute. Right there is the man that interviewed me on CNN.
That's a man, you're saying?
That is correct. A man. And
well, it looked like a woman to me. Well,
yeah. Well, when that showed up, or when she showed up, I felt, you know, I don't know why I'm going to say this, but I felt as if I was being taunted by CNN when we got interviewed.
All right. Let's just, so depression and then anger.
Yes, depression and anger. Look, I can tell you that this animal that was barking at me, I think it's a safe bet to say a lot of people would have, in my frame of mind only, I was very, very upset, I was very depressed, and I was also angry. And this animal was in human, you know how people will put sweaters on dogs. In other words, the animal was dressed in a manner that would make any human being angry. This is a person, somebody put a sweater on it, and it had a bow and a lot of nonsense. And I knew the lady, too. This is a woman who you've walked by her house many times. You can see her sleeping with this animal, which I think is very strange, very strange. If you remember the news accounts of the woman with that ape that tore her friend to shreds. She slept with that ape. So I'm a public employee, Phil. I'm out on the street. I'm a teacher. And the rest of the world, the rest of the freaks in this world, get to sleep peacefully with their ape or their dog, or dress it in a sweater. And so, yes, I kicked it.
Do you feel, but I'm not getting anything, do you feel bad that you kicked this animal?
I don't feel bad that I kicked the, I feel bad if the animal was injured, I don't know. But I was so angry, I didn't go back to check. I was got a ticket from this cop, and I went home. And
did you tell your family or your son?
I haven't told my family. They're listening tonight. I don't think they'll be bothered by it. I think they'll understand. They saw me that night.
877-876-7445. With me, Rob Barnes, who, among the depression and the disappointment of the day, took it out on a dog by kicking it. Here is Hugh in Bakersfield, California. Go ahead, Hugh. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Rob, if you don't like the deal that you're getting from the public people and the taxpayers of Wisconsin, then go find a regular job. And if you want to kick a dog,
I got a regular job. I got a regular job. That's a ridiculous statement to make. That's one of those.
Be a man and kick a pit bull.
What kind of dog have you got? What kind of job have you got? It's probably a better question.
Be a man and kick a pit bull. Don't be a coward and kick a little dog.
I've kicked a pit bull before. You know, here's how you deal with a pit bull. You pick it up by the hind legs, swing it around, and throw it into an open sewer or a wash or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if you don't like the deal
that you're getting from the taxpayer, go find another job.
I think you already said that, Jerry Mahoney.
All right, have a little respect, huh?
Well, I asked the guy what his job is.
I have a real job. I'm working in the private sector, and I'm not griping about not getting taking
so
care of when I'm 50.
You blow up dolls at the massage parlor or what?
No. What does
I,
that mean?
Your private sector. What does that mean, but private sector? I work and educate kids. If you had any kids, which I don't think you do, you'd understand what a teacher's value is in this society. So I
You're the poster child for vouchers. We should go to vouchers, get rid of the unions, and parents should have the power to put their kids where they want to have them educated, so they don't have to deal with people like you with a monopoly.
No, they're going to deal with other people like me with their vouchers.
That's right.
They're never going to get away from
and then they can pick and choose.
Other people like me.
All education in this country should go private.
Pick and choose. Hey, let me ask you something. I bet you the only thing you ever picked and choosed in your life was your nose. And
all right, so what's the point of this?
Having fun with a guy, he's easy.
Because he's got
anyway,
an argument.
So, Hugh,
I got an argument, but you're the guy talking about how I got to get a real job. I got a real job.
If you don't like...
think that people that work publicly, they don't have real jobs. Is that it? We should have no public work? How about construction workers? How about guys that build highways?
Me.
You know what?
I'm not going to be able to keep my house. I'm not going to be able to have my wife not work. My son looks at me like I'm a loser. Tough.
You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to find out what kind of dog you got. I bet you
don't have a dog.
I bet you dress your dog up, don't you?
He said he doesn't have
a dog in my life.
Oh, I get it. You got a cat. Wow.
Oh, no cats either.
Not very masculine. Not very masculine.
But I don't kick little dogs like I'm some tough guy.
I think you probably... Why don't you have a dog then? Do you hate dogs? You know something? I don't like this guy. I bet you do.
Of course you don't.
But you won't tell me you got a dog.
You don't like the truth. Democrats give money to unions, and unions turn around and give money to Democrats. The party's over.
And Republicans give money to the people they give money to, and they turn around and give it back.
And the Republicans are standing up for the taxpayer and the private sector and saying no more.
Yeah, they're standing up the taxpayer. Unless, of course, they need another $5 billion for a bomber. Yeah, they're standing up all right. Hey, how much did your season tickets to the, where's this guy from, Bakersfield? How much did your season tickets to the Bakersfield, peas, how much do they cost? Oh, man, I hate this guy so much.
All right, the guy's got a good point, and he's right. You didn't have an argument. You didn't have an
argument.
Thank you very much, Hugh. Thank you, Hugh, for your number, for your call, 877-876-PHIL.
Wait, hold on. I want to know how this works. You're sticking up for that loser? That guy didn't make no argument either.
Yes, he did. He made very clearly a statement as to why he's a Republican, and which is one of the reasons why I am a conservative, because I believe we hold on to the money, we decide what we do with the money, we decide how it's going to be spent, we decide in what areas of public life that money is going to be spent. It's not a de facto automatic thing.
Hold on for a minute. Hey, Mr. Henry, what a speech.
Okay.
What a speech. Bill Henry for Congress. Is that what you're trying to do? Is that it? Because that guy who said he didn't have a dog, and I find it very convenient that he said that. That must mean that he hates animals, too. And I'll bet you that that man's life is littered with the carcasses of dead animals. And I don't want to know what he did with them when they were alive, either.
877, but that's something. 877-876-PHIL. That's really great for you to impugn someone, their mentality, to impugn their mental health because they didn't happen to agree with you. Ricky in Boston, Massachusetts. Go ahead, Ricky. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, I'm going to make this short and sweet. This guy, I guess his job is a teacher?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
He does not know the meaning of humanity. That's, like, really off. And then...
Wait a minute, hold on. Yes, I did.
Says,
Mr. Henry didn't know. Mr. Henry did not know. I said humanity
okay.
is human.
And then you say that if a small dog has ever bitten you and that's why you kicked the dog. Now, do you have kids?
I have a son. Yes, I do.
Okay, so if your son ever bit you, would you kick him across the street?
That's a human being. Oh, wait. Here we go. We got a guy who thinks dogs are equal to people.
They have feelings,
too. You think, oh, here we go. A dog is equal to people. Is that what you're telling me? Come on, go ahead, Ricky. You can admit it. You think dogs should vote. You think dogs should vote, don't you? This is a guy that thinks dogs are equal to people.
A living
thing. My son is not a dog. My son's not a dog. And neither are you.
Well,
I wouldn't kick you across the street. Human beings are a higher level of being. You don't kick them. Dogs
exactly, which means
well, look, you can say that you
level,
don't kick a dog.
You should have some decency and not hurt something that is not hurting you.
That's what I mean by a humanity.
Here he goes
exactly.
again with humanity. Are you? Wait a minute. Are you a human? Ricky's a human. You're a human, Phil. I'm a human. All right. You want
without,
me to show humanity?
That,
fine. What's that got to do with a dog? I've got. He's not human.
Well, what do you mean he's not? Humanity is what, and you, this gentleman understands what I'm talking about. Your humanity is everything that makes you up as a...
I'm a school teacher, and you're telling me, is that what you're trying to do?
Your humanity is everything that makes you as a human being. Inclusive of that is our compassion and our ability, unlike any other animal on Earth, to have a sense of charity and feeling for other creatures.
Charity.
Well, I'm charity. That's exactly what I mean.
I don't know. I don't know what you mean, charity. Am I supposed to start taking up a collection for a dog? Are you? Is there going to be a? When you talk about charity, it's the Red Cross, okay?
No, charity is charitable feeling. You know, extending yourself.
Extending myself. Boy, does that. Oh. Well, I'm glad I'm not you.
Why is that?
You're talking about a dog and how you feel about it, and then you say you extended something.
Boy, you are some sick bastard, you know that?
Mr. Henry, you're the one that made that statement.
I was saying extending myself as a person.
You did not say that. You said something. You know what you...
I didn't say something. I didn't say something extends. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I heard you say.
No, I didn't say that. I think the other man had a point, okay?
Well, you keep on, the other man. It's a good thing you're getting phone callers because everything you can say, oh, and then the other guy said, and here's another point I want to make when that guy said, I'm making my own arguments here, okay?
The other man said something very, very true. I forget now because you've been talking so much.
Well, yeah, because I'm making sense. I'm making sense. For once in your life, Mr. Henry, well, not your life, but I'm just saying, for once maybe you have a guest that makes sense. And I'm making sense. And I will say it again. I felt bad. I was walking down the street. A dog comes out of a house wearing a sweater, barking at me. I don't know a human being on earth who doesn't want to kick something like that to death. And all I did was kick it on the fly. And you know, I want to say something. I picked the animal up and I tried to very gently boot it across the street. But I knew that if I kicked it harder, it would hurt it. So I did a very gentle boot and it only went like halfway across the street and it bounced and rolled. It kind of just scrambled to its feet. And
so you're telling me that you're being humane to that dog by gently kicking it. It lands in the middle of the street. God forbid a car should be coming. And then it got up and walked across the rest of the street.
Walked across the rest of it. It didn't walk. It scampered like a little dog does. It didn't walk. It wasn't on a crosswalk.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I've never talked to a guy with such a nitpicky attitude in my life. We're talking here with Rob Barnes about the disappointment of losing that vote in Madison, Wisconsin. He was so angry, he kicked a dog on the fly, but he didn't want to kick it that hard, so... So he kicked it so it only went halfway across the street and bounced the rest of the way. What a bastard. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
That's what you sound like, Phil.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Sorry, just doing a little... house cleaning here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have a final segment here with Rob Barnes. Rob is one of many public employees who has been left out in the cold in his world, anyway. And we're talking to him about today and yesterday and how it feels in Wisconsin and how it feels among public employees. And, you know, I make no bones about the fact and I'm very happy for Governor Walker. I think the guy showed guts that we haven't seen in a long, long time. And you can't make a stand like this and then back down. You have to take it all the way. And he was doing it in a lot of ways in an area, in a part of the world where much, much tougher than what Reagan did back in the early 80s with the air traffic controllers, because Reagan was elected on a popular mandate following the 4 years of Jimmy Carter. The economy absolutely in the toilet, just the way it is today. But there, in the state of Wisconsin, is a re-energized progressive and liberal democratic movement comprised of union members and so forth. And how did I do there, Rob?
As like everything else you've been saying tonight, I think you got it dead wrong. You're talking about Scott Walker having courage. Scott Walker had the colossal stupidity to do what he did. To take public employees, I'm going to say this because I haven't said it enough. Scott Walker is an idiot, okay? Only an idiot does what Scott Walker did. And only an idiot stands up there in front of the press and talks about what a fantastic guy he is and takes all the kudos and says this and that and something else about how great he is. And only an idiot like Scott Walker would do what he done so that me, I go down a street, I see a dog in a sweater, and again, Phil, I can't emphasize enough, when you look at an animal wearing a sweater or sunglasses or an asinine costume like that, the instinct is to kick it. And I'm driving down the road, and Scott Walker's in my ear on the radio, and I see a cat going across the street, and I aim for it. And I'm walking down the street, and Scott Walker is in my mind's eye as I'm listening to him making another one of his colossally stupid statements, and I see a squirrel, and I want to run up and step on it. You understand what's going on here?
It sounds to me like you have a level of rage in which you want to take life, okay?
You almost said lives, as in human lives. You almost went all the way and said what I know you've been wanting to say all night, that dogs, cats, and squirrels are the same as men and women. And
no, I have not. You know, I got to tell you something. You're a progressive. I'm a conservative. I got more concern for innocent animal life than you. Jack, you ought to be me.
Not in a million years.
Well, I wouldn't be you in a million years, and it isn't because you're a Democrat, although that's a big, big reason. The bigger reason is... you've got a problem, man, when it comes to hurting animals. Here is John in Miami. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I got a problem with animals.
I got no job.
I'm very good, John.
I just want to say this. This guy, I mean, you said you took a dog that has nothing to do with what happened to your job, and you kicked him across the street. Now, let's really look at this. A street is at least 12 to 15 feet wide, at least.
Right.
You took a dog that had nothing to do with your job, and you kicked him across the street in the air. You know how hard that must have been? I know you must have hurt this dog.
What I said was I didn't kick it so hard that it made it across the street on the fly. I kicked it gentle.
Still.
And it bounced in the middle of the street.
It's the same thing.
I mean, exactly.
Phil's right. And humanity has to do with having a compassion for a living thing, all living things. That dog had nothing to do with you losing your job, and you're taking a walk, and you think about your job, and you're going to kick a dog. What are you teaching our kids? I wouldn't want my kid in school.
Of course, I didn't do it. I did it in front of the old lady that owns the dog. She's out sweeping her porch, and she lets this dog come down the walk onto the street on a day that I've lost everything, and the dog's wearing a sweater, and I don't know how you are about those kinds of things. It bothers me. It bothers me when I see a dog wearing...
The dog having a sweater on has gives you the right to kick him? Okay, what if one day I lose my job and I feel like robbing a bank? Is that justified? I can go in there and take somebody's money that they own because I lost my job? It's understandable?
Well, there's a big difference between robbing a person's money and kicking some yapping mutt.
That's someone's dog. And for a lot of people, their dogs are worth more than money. You know,
I know, and that's what scares me.
Exactly.
You guys may think that's something special. That scares the daylights out of me that there are people out there.
I think the Madison Police had every right to write you that ticket.
Right.
Well, is that right? So I've just lost everything, my job, everything, and now here comes a cop. I need that. I need that like I need another hole in the head.
Well, then don't kick a dog, man, because if it had been my dog, if it had been this gentleman's dog or anybody's dog, the same thing would have happened. Let me ask you, if you had a dog and I kicked it, what would you say?
I'd probably congratulate you. I don't have any dogs. You want to kick my dog, I figure you got a reason.
Oh, you're an idiot. You know that? You're full of crap. What you did is you got pissed off and you decided to take it out on a dog.
And a dog, I'm supposed to sit and look at a dog yapping at me. And you know who else is on TV right now is this Sheen. Every time I look at Sheen, I want to beat something. What's that?
That's the end of the hour. Thank you very much for your call. I got to go, though, John. I appreciate it, man, very much. 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very, very much to Rob Barnes for being a part of the show.
Well, I wanted to talk about this Sheen.
We don't have any more time.
Phil Hendry.
I kicked him across the street. Would that be okay?
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
What happened was I was watching the Parliament on TV.
I heard some yapping on the internet about Charlie being
sitting there, and heard a couple screams, and I looked up and I seen the kid
around, and it was pretty viral.
And that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and we go places other talk shows just cannot go. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, online at philhendryshow.com, where tonight we are our usual HD Phil TV, high-definition Phil TV, and we also have been screening clips, the earthquake clips that so many of you are familiar with, but we've been sort of cutting in and out of those during our breaks. And what was the one you liked, Bud?
That one guy going, messed up, man. Messed up, man.
Well, he wasn't saying that.
He's got him going effed up. Yeah, that guy cracked me up.
Well, that was apparently an American living in Tokyo. And this dude, I mean, he filmed the earthquake taking place, then put it on YouTube. And through this entire episode, the guy is nothing but holy S and effed up and... It wasn't funny. He sounded like he was absolutely in shock. And let's not forget, this is going to be brutal, man. When they finally get the death toll on this, it's going to be up into, excuse me for putting it this way, but I don't think it's inappropriate. It's going to be up into the kinds of numbers, I believe,
that we see coming out of China when it comes to earthquakes, or coming out of Iran when it comes to earthquakes.
How many is that?
It's in the tens of thousands, brother. Tens of thousands. I'm not very good at these things, and I'm grateful that I'm not. But it would appear that way anyway. That's the kind of just brutal, brutal story this is. Phil Henry here. It's our news hour. Along with me is Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Japan launched a massive military rescue operation Saturday after this giant quake-fed tsunami killed hundreds of people and turned the northeastern coast into a swampy wasteland while authorities braced for a possible meltdown at a nuclear reactor. Good God. Prime Minister Neto Kan said 50,000 troops would join rescue and recovery efforts following Friday's 8.9 magnitude quake that unleashed one of the greatest disasters Japan has ever witnessed, a 23-foot-high, 7-meter tsunami that washed far inland over fields, smashing towns, airports, and highways in its way. The official death toll has stood at 413, 784 people were missing, 1,128 injured. In addition, police said between 200 and 300 bodies were found along the coast in Sendai, the biggest city in the area, near the quake's epicenter. An untold number of bodies were also believed to be buried in the rubble and debris. Rescue workers had yet to reach the hardest hit areas. This is rough, man. But, you know, it's nature. It's not anything man-made. It's nature.
Well, I mean, how do you know not man-made? They may say like that like what Rush Limbaugh said.
Oh, I was joking around. But I was talking before the show?
Yeah, you said something about fracking or something?
Fracking. Yo, Rush was joking about it on his radio show. I heard him saying something that liberals would blame it on fracking in North Dakota, because if you look at North Dakota and you look at Japan, they're directly across each other on opposite sides of the globe. And his point was that liberals would find some way to make this something that human beings caused. The irony of all of this is it is an earthquake. It is not meteorologically driven. It's an earthquake.
Wait a minute. No, man. The weather drives an earthquake.
No, weather doesn't drive an earthquake. Now, that's something that we have, that they've discussed over the years. I remember that the earthquake that hit, a few of the earthquakes that hit, it was a hot, dry day. Hot, dry day. Always happens in the morning. Horse dung. It happens when it happens, man. And I'll tell you something else. Earthquakes are a part of the normal stretching and shifting that the tectonic plates, that is the continental crust of the earth, this is what it does. You know, it just changes like that.
Wait, what are you talking about? If they make a map, they'll have to change it.
Yeah, they'll have to change it. What do you think the earth looked like, say, a million years ago?
What?
It didn't look like it does now.
What are you talking about?
It didn't look like it does now. Do you think it looked like it did now?
Well, yeah.
It didn't look anything like it. The Earth's continents, the Earth's oceans, have constantly changed since the birth of this planet. India used to be attached to Africa.
Get out of here.
I'm telling you. Well, you guys don't have to believe me. Forget it. Anyway, adding to the worries was the damage at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, where two reactors had lost cooling ability. Because of the overheating, a meltdown was possible at one of the reactors, according to one of the officials with Japan's Nuclear Safety Commission. But even if there was a meltdown, it wouldn't affect people outside a six-mile radius. Most of the 51,000 residents living within the danger area have been evacuated. More than 215,000 people were living in 1,300 temporary shelters in five prefectures or states, the National Police Agency said. Since the quake, more than a million households have not had water, mostly concentrated in the northeast. Most of the houses along the coastline were washed away and a fire broke out, according to a police official spoken to. I realize the extremely serious damage the tsunami has caused. So, you guys have seen about as much of the videotape as is humanly possible to transmit, and it has been a really freaky thing. Let's take a look now at some of the things that have been said in Japan and elsewhere concerning this terrible, terrible event. The Japanese quake, this is day two, not only the quake, but also the tsunami that took place. Here is Matt Ault. He's an American near Tokyo talking to CNN about his experience during the earthquake and the tsunami.
The ground was rolling for an extended period of time. I wasn't exactly sure what to do or where to go. I'd never been prepared for anything like this. My wife and I stood outside and basically held on to the outside of our house. You couldn't even stand up. I mean, literally at the peak of these waves that were washing over the ground, you literally could not stay on your feet. You had to kind of crouch down in a ball or put your back against something so you didn't fall.
Arata Yamamoto is a producer with NBC News, and he experienced the earthquake from a high-rise building in Tokyo. He spoke with MSNBC today.
What happened was I was watching the parliament on TV, the diet session, and there was a warning up on the screen saying that, you know, expect a large tremor. And about 30 seconds later, the lights in the office started to shake, at first very slowly, sideways. And some of the tapes on my desk started to fall. It was hard to stand up to keep your balance standing up. It was almost like you were standing on a boat going through a storm.
Here are some other cuts. Randy Castle, an American working in Tokyo, describes the quake to ABC News.
There was a lot of shaking. It started and it lasted a good 5 minutes. Lots of shaking and very scary. It was a lot of swaying. You could hear the building creaking in it. It started, and as it was going, we were told to get down. And you can see the shades. I took a video. You can see the shades shaking back and forth, about 6 feet, you know, back and forth.
Finally, President Obama today said the United States is ready and willing to help in the quake and tsunami's aftermath.
First and foremost, our thoughts and our prayers are with the people of Japan. This is a potentially catastrophic disaster, and the images of destruction and flooding coming out of Japan are simply heartbreaking. Japan is, of course, one of our strongest and closest allies, and this morning I spoke with Prime Minister Kan. On behalf of the American people, I conveyed our deepest condolences, especially the victims and their families, and I offered our Japanese friends whatever assistance is needed.
So that's the story there from the United States and from Japan. Daybreak was expected to reveal the full extent of the death and damage from Friday's 8.9 magnitude earthquake, and it sure did. In one of the worst-hit residential areas, people buried under rubble could be heard calling out help. The government warned there could be a small radiation leak from the reactor we told you about, and underscoring concerns about this nuclear reactor, Japan has asked for coolant to avert a rise in the temperature of its nuclear rods. The unfolding natural disaster has prompted offers of help from countries around the world, including the United States, as you just heard from President Obama and others. So this earthquake in Japan, like 8.9.
What do you think, like, a lot of people say maybe the end of the world?
Oh, the end of the world.
Well, what about it, man?
What do you mean about the end of the world? What's that got to do with anything?
Well, man, this is bad. I've never seen nothing like this.
So, no, you never seen nothing like it. So what? Maybe there's going to be a whole lot more like this. Why do we think it's the end of the world? Because we ain't seen it before?
Damn, this is one of the worst that has ever been.
Bull crap.
No, man, that's what they said.
Bull crap. We've only been keeping records for 100 years. Worst that's ever been. You know, the human race has got this thing. If we haven't kept track of it, then it didn't happen. I got news for you. There have been earthquakes since the beginning of time. We've only been keeping track of earthquakes for 100 years. For us, in recorded history, humanity's recorded history and actual history, I mean, there's no, you know, it ain't no competition, man. So I'm sure what has happened down through the ages, look, what do you think the people thought? And here we go again with that thing that blew up. You remember that?
Uh-uh.
The thing that blew up over Russia?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think people thought when that thing blew up over Russia? I bet you they thought that's the... Forget it, man. It's the end of the... It's the all-time end of the world, man.
No, that was just like a comet.
Oh, yeah, is that right? You're the guy that was talking about how the end of the world is here because of this earthquake.
Well, I mean, like, they never seen nothing like it. Did the man say that?
Well, yeah, so he said it. So what?
You talked like a chick. Yeah. So what?
Hey, bud, you want me to just go ahead and dent your forehead? You know, I got my ring on. You want that?
No, I don't care.
What's your point?
Point is you're all like, you think this could be bad.
It is bad, you dumbass. Nobody said that it isn't bad.
Yeah, but you're saying like, so what, big deal?
I ain't saying so what, big deal. What I'm saying is this. It ain't the end of the world. So forget it. Okay? End of the world, Y2K. End of the world, some other thing. End of the world, 2012. End of the world, this, Mayan calendar, that. End of the. It ain't, the world ain't ending, man. No. We ain't going out that easy. We're going to have to sit here and suck on it, man, for the rest of all time until the universe tears apart. We have breaking news. What do you got? Okay, thanks, Jason. Jason Rantz, our producer, an explosion at the nuclear power plant in Japan, the one that they were concerned with. This is the Fukushima plant. It's 150 miles north of Tokyo. It was an explosion that injured two workers. One is seriously injured, but it could, again, simply be venting to release pressure in the reactors. There is white smoke coming from the site. That generally means that the fire is not there's not a lot of fuel that it's eating. The other thing is that during Chernobyl, there were a couple of these explosions. There were terrible injuries when they were fighting the fire at Chernobyl, a horrifyingly daunting experience that took the lives of a great many, not just at the site, but in many, many years following with various ailments, cancer, blood cancers, leukemia, and so forth. All right, let's take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to Radio for Patriots by Patriots. This is where it is. This is where the truth is. This is where other talk shows don't dare to go. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to your world-famous Phil Henry Show, our Phil TV high-definition video cast tonight. We got in the background a little bit of video of what's happening there in Japan, and we're looking at what did Gut Phil do?
Looked like he got the dog that got kicked.
Yeah, it looks just like it.
I saw that dog. If I saw that dog, I'd kick it, too.
Yeah, you saw the face on that thing? Damn thing had an expression on face. I don't like no dog have a human face. Never, never, never. Well, I want that. And I think there's something wrong if you have a dog with a human face.
I think you're absolutely right. There'd be something wrong if you had a dog with a human face. When did you see ever in your life a dog with a human face?
Well, it did have a human face, but it was like smiling and everything.
Yeah, and had these big eyebrows.
Oh, get out of here with the eye. I looked at the same dog you guys were looking at.
That one?
No, that's Ann Coulter. Now, anyway.
Oh!
Sorry. You led me into that. I'm talking about, I'm kidding, Ann. Ann's, she's gorgeous. What I'm saying is that I looked at this dog, and I don't know what the dog is, but it ain't the dog that you think it is, and I ain't talking about, never mind. So, yeah, he had that dog. All right. So all of this stuff that's happening in Japan, sooner or later, there's probably going to be somebody who will need some sort of assistance, like from the firefighters.
They'll probably give blood and everything at Red Cross and everything like this.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Help out with the American Red Cross. Okay. All right, so...
So what about the end of the world?
Oh, well, you get off the kick with the end of the world, okay? Get off the kick with the end of the world. Ain't ending, man. It is not going to happen. No end of the world, no how. Forget it.
Yeah, but this kind of thing...
Will you get off it, man? You know what the problem with you two guys is? This is the worst. You see these things, and you think this has never happened in the history of the world. You think that we should be able to handle all of this, that we're so advanced, we're so cool, we're so smart, we're so this and we're so that we ought to be able to just handle all of this crap, man. There shouldn't be earthquakes, there shouldn't be meltdowns, there shouldn't be nothing. Well, guess what? We ain't. Okay?
Well, what do you think caused it?
I told you what caused it, bud. There wasn't anything that we did wrong. There was nothing that we did wrong.
What about, like, what Jerry Falwell said?
What do you mean, Jerry Falwell, man? That cat ain't even around anymore. You mean about gays and that kind of crap?
Yeah.
Oh, get off it, will you, man? Look, we have moved past that silly-ass late 20th century pre-millennium paranoia about God's going to get us for this, that, and something else. Guess what? The millennium came, and there was no meeting of the armies in Jerusalem, and there's no end of the world. There's just us. And there's going to be these kinds of earthquakes, and there's going to be these tsunamis, and we're going to have meltdowns of nuclear reactors, and we'll get through it, and we'll learn how to deal with it, and life goes on, okay?
You think they'll ever make a way not to have earthquakes?
No. I don't, not for hundreds of years. I mean, I don't know.
What about they, like, poured, like, a special, like, I bet you they'd have, like in Star Trek, you know, some kind of,
Like in Star Trek?
Well, I know, but I mean, like, would they have a special cement?
Yeah, sure, that's right. The special cement, pour down to the fault lines?
Yeah, they could do it.
I don't know. I don't think so in our lifetime. It's not going to happen. Not in this century. Maybe the next century they'll have some kind of way to seal these fault lines. But, you know, that's not a safe thing to do. The Earth needs to shift and change. The smarter thing is to not build along these major fault lines. The smarter thing is to stay away from areas that we know are spots where the Earth is shifting and changing its continental look, if you will.
What do you mean continental? Like in a suit?
In a suit?
Yeah.
What do you mean in a suit?
You said like continental.
I ain't talking about like continental breakfast. Get out of here.
What do you know?
This is what the Earth does, all right? The best thing we can do is remember one thing, and I think that earthquakes are actually, in as tragic as they are, I think they're good. And here's why. And unless, of course, I get killed in one, and then I don't think they're any good, but then I wouldn't be thinking about much anyway other than...
Yeah, what tune to play on your harp?
What tune to play on my harp. But, earthquakes remind us that for all of our striving and for all of our genius and for all of our marvelousness and for all of us blowing kisses to ourselves in a mirror, you know, we are still just creatures on this globe called the Earth, and it's just one of billions of stars. And if the Earth blew up tomorrow, it wouldn't even be recorded as a mouse fart in the overall giganticness of the universe. It would just be like it would be, if there were cats and they'd be going, wouldn't you see that? What happened? Well, it looked like something farted. I don't know. Anyway, let me get back to, they wouldn't even notice.
What do you mean farted?
I'm saying the Earth, you know.
You don't think we're that important?
Are you serious?
Well, no. I mean, I know we're not, but God.
No, I don't think we're that important. Look, I think we're important to us, man, all right? But if you look at how big the freaking universe is, who cares, man? You could blow us up tomorrow, and it's just, they wouldn't even record it as an event. It would be lost in the overall giganticness of whatever the hell else is out there. They wouldn't even record it as something that happened. They go, oh, this planet just, whatever. There's too many other things happening. Okay?
Yeah, I guess.
We'll be back, World Fan, now that I got everybody feeling good. We'll be back here on the World Famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, for live streaming video of the show right now in HD. Woo!
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in HD, Phil TV on tonight. We're just behind me here on Phil TV. There's a story here about the tsunami hit Crescent City, which is a very far north city on the coast of California, but it just wiped out their harbor. And you can see a video of this the harbor got trashed. All right, on to some other news, because the world ain't going to end, and I don't know what's up with you cats, but I don't want to talk about the world ending, all right?
Well, I just don't think it's worthy, man. The people ought to talk about it, you know, and see.
See what, man? I tell you what you do. You go and you visit your padre or your church or whatever the hell it is you do, Robert, and don't bug me, you know? don't bug me with this stuff because it's really starting to, you know, grate on my nerves.
Well, that's God. You can't laugh at God.
Hey, bud, you too. Just both you guys. What are you, religious freaks or something? What's the story?
I just don't think you should laugh.
I'm laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Okay? Parents protest over girls' peanut allergy. You guys, you know, you think I'm being disrespectful to God. I'm laughing at you clowns. You know, you don't want to know what I think about God?
What?
I think God wants us to do this. He wants us to, okay, well, there's a problem. What are you going to do about it? Oh, I don't know. Here, I'll give you an example. Jason just sent me this. Now, listen to this. This is one of the reasons why I am a raging conservative here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Hours after the earthquake, environmental advocates connected the natural disaster to global warming.
Yeah, so?
Are you putting me on? Listen, the president of the European Economic and Social Committee, Staffan Nilsson, issued a statement calling for solidarity in tackling the global warming problem. The global warming problem, see? Forget about whether, do you think we need something, Mr. Nilsson, in terms of coordination for tsunami relief? Do we need something, Mr. Nilsson, for disaster relief and saving lives when we have an earthquake, which has nothing to do with global warming? Do you think we need that? He said, and I quote, some islands affected by climate change have been hit. Some islands affected by climate change have been hit. Has not the time come to demonstrate on solidarity, not least solidarity in combating and adapting to climate change and global warming? Mother Nature has again given us a sign that is what we need to do. So this guy has, in one statement, demonstrated, A, he's not a very good propagandist, although that's what he strives to be. B, he is able to take two absolutely unconnected and disparate things and jam them together. And C, he's even added a little paganism.
What's that?
What's paganism? Because he, in a very quasi-paganistic reference to Mother Nature,
No, he ain't doing that, man.
Oh, yes, he is. Mother Nature has again reminded us that is what we need to do. I don't think so, Mr. Nilsson. I think that Mother Nature may be reminding us that we need to, be better prepared for earthquakes and tsunamis. But I don't think Mother Nature has said to me, come together in solidarity on global warming. You know, guys like that deserve to be smacked. Just not hard, but just gently across the face. Either that or, I don't know what, man, hit with a cream pie. It defies description. It defies imagination. I think I'm turned on by him. Now then.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Parents protest over girls' peanut allergy. A first grade student at Edgewater Elementary School on the east coast of Florida is struggling with a rare life-threatening peanut allergy, and it's causing a controversy among her classmates. Now then, what happened here? It's causing a controversy among her classmates. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get something straight here. Because of the condition, first graders at the school are required to wash their hands and rinse out their mouths to avoid bringing peanut particles into the classroom. On Friday, the county had the school cleaned and even brought in peanut-sniffing dogs to check for peanut particles. Tracy Bailey is the girl's mother. She says her 6-year-old will stop breathing and die if she's around peanuts. Her daughter's condition affects only 2% of the population. I don't think my child should have to rinse her mouth out 3 times a day, said Carrie Starkey, whose daughter's a classmate. In a letter sent in August, Edgewater's principal informed parents the girl has a very severe reaction to even the slightest exposure. The letter stated the girl can be affected simply by sitting at a table with someone who has peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or being touched by someone who's eaten a peanut product containing peanuts. Parents said they feel their children are being stripped of their classroom rights. Boy, you know, every time somebody says rights, I automatically want to just upchuck. I don't mind. You know, we all got rights. In the famous words of George C. Scott in Taps, he says, there's one thing about civilians, they all know about their rights. What about this little girl's right to live? Well, I'm not necessarily taking sides yet, but I'm getting damn close. The letter stated the girl can be affected by peanuts. Parents said they feel their children are being stripped of their rights. Let's listen now to a parent protest. This ought to be a lot of fun, listening to parents protesting. Here are Central Florida. Here is Central Florida News speaking with a parent who was protesting at Edgewater Elementary School.
It's frustrating and it's time-consuming and it's distracting them and taking away from their education. We were all, as parents, okay with those procedures. But then as first grade has gone on and progressed, they keep implementing new procedures that now, at this point, we feel are unfair.
All right, parents, you heard what the lady said. They feel their kids are being stripped of their rights. They said the rules are taking time out of the learning process. On average, it's probably a good 30 minutes taken out of the day. Nancy Waite of Volusia County Schools said Clorox wipes are used to clean desks, not students, as some parents have claimed. She said federal law and the Americans with Disabilities Act mandate the school ensure a safe environment for the girl. It's an inconvenience, and it might seem like it's a bit overboard, but it's what is medically necessary for a particular student that has been signed off on by a physician. Waite said the students wash their hands and wash out their mouths in another classroom twice a day, not three times before entering the school. Well, look, it seems obvious these are parents that are asking, is there a better way, you know? And there may very well be a better way. One of the things that might be a better way is to figure out what is there any kind of a proper antihistamine or anything this child can take for the peanut allergy? I don't know, you know.
I don't know, man. They've been looking into it.
Well, have they been looking into it, Bud? What have you found out in your research?
Well, first of all, peanuts, there's a lot of people that are allergic to it. If you get Chunky, and I don't know if you're familiar with Skippy Chunky. You know about Skippy, right?
Yeah, I know about Skippy. You mean the peanut butter Skippy?
Yeah. They got Creamy and they got Chunky. And a lot of people will eat Creamy, but I don't like Creamy because I like Chunky. But when you get Chunky, it's like, well, I don't want to say, but it's like, you know. Yeah, it's like doo-doo.
And will you guys shut up? It's like doo-doo. Why don't you, oh, man. Why don't you grow up?
Well, it is, man. Didn't you see Training Day?
Yeah, I saw Training Day. Oh, God. What about Chum asking about peanut allergies?
Yeah, well, anyway, make a long story short, is the Chunky one is got peanut chunk, okay?
Yes, I know that.
All right.
I'm going to kick your ass. Get out of here. It's got peanut chunk.
Yeah. A lot of people don't want to go near the chunk.
You know something, man? I love Chunky peanut butter. I love it on good, thick wheat bread, and I don't eat any of that stuff anymore because I'm on a diet, man. And I've lost almost 20 pounds now, not drinking soda and eating the caveman diet, and that's where it's at for me. And maybe that's what this kid ought to try. I don't know.
Yeah, well here's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, well, you get to it, man.
Okay. Why do parents make a peanut butter and the peanut butter sandwich? Because it's inexpensive, and if they put it on Wonder Bread, it's like white Wonder Bread, and they glob on the, you know, peanut chunky, and it's not expensive, but it's not even like it's gross.
What is? What is he talking about?
When you take Wonder Bread, which is like white bread, right?
Yeah.
And you slather on a peanut butter, it's like it's a big glob, man. I can't even explain it.
Are you guys trying to tell me that I don't know what you're talking about when it comes to peanut butter sandwiches? I'm trying to find out what can be done to help this child with a peanut allergy. You're telling me what's gross about a peanut butter sandwich made with Wonder Bread.
Yeah, but no, but I was talking about Chunky, and he being Creamy.
He means Creamy what?
That's the gross, not Chunky, but Creamy.
That's what's the gross one?
Yeah.
You know, both of you clowns, man, you know what I would do? I would take both of you guys in for a very quick evaluation, like an EEG. I want your brain waves read. That's how messed up you cats are.
I thought you were going to say you want to take me in for sex or something. Please don't do it.
Parents said all the rules are taking time out for the learning process. Well, I understand that. But this child has an allergy. And I don't know what you do in a situation like that. You know, a lot of people might say, take her out of the school and put her in some school for weird kids, you know. But that's, by the same token, these allergies are very, very interesting. And I often believe, and I'm not saying I'm not a doctor, so I would never entrust the child's safety to Phil Henry's opinion. But what is it that this kid is putting into her body, or biochemically, how is this child put together that she has this allergy? Is there nothing these doctors can do? Is there no, like I said, is there no antihistamine? How about if you stick the kid in another classroom and put her on, like, one of those closed-circuit TVs?
That's a great idea, man. She could be in another classroom, be watching on closed-circuit TV.
I'm kidding.
Well, it's doable.
Oh, are you, man, that child would be, like, mentally screwed up if you did that to her. The girl's father, David Bailey, admitted the condition is an inconvenience. The Baileys apologized for the disruption, but said it's their job to protect their child. I would love everything to be normal and everyone else to have a normal life. The parents said they turned to protesting because school officials had no answers for them. What about the doctors? We're all for protecting that little girl, but we have to protect our own kids, said Rhonda Ivy. And frankly, when it comes to my kid or that kid, I say that kid dies choking. No, she didn't say that, but that's she might as well have.
Probably.
Bailey said he's hoping to meet with other parents to discuss whose kid is better and whose kid deserves to live and whose kid deserves to die strangling. I'm just joking, but I got to tell you something. All things being equal, if that's what they said I had to do, then that's what my kid's going to do. And I'm not about to bitch about it, you know?
Oh, so you think it's okay?
I don't know if it's okay or not, man. But if nobody's got any answers for me, if I say, well, you know, this is the parents, I'm sure they've taken their kid to a doctor. I don't know, but if that's what's going to keep that kid, I don't care, and I'll tell my kid to rinse your mouth out. I wouldn't give my kid anything. I wouldn't give him any peanut butter to eat. Is that such a big problem?
Yeah, but that's what Bud was saying. Peanut butter is inexpensive and everything.
Yeah, I know peanut butter is inexpensive. I understand that. And I understand that parents want to, you know, it's a good way to save, and it's a healthy, it's a protein-rich meal. But that would be my solution. No more peanut butter, man. You can have the peanut butter sandwiches on the weekends, you know, and.
What about Reese's cup?
No peanuts, nothing, not even Reese's cup. All right, we'll come back with a final segment here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. NPR is caught in another embarrassing undercover video. Plus, some people are shocked that a fraternity member sent out a sexist email at USC, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Bud
Radio
Dippin and Robert
for
Leonard.
Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, and don't forget that coming up, I guess it would be tonight, Saturday night, we are on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles. We have our LA show, but you can join us online at philhenryshow.com for the Phil TV in HD video cast of that. And back here with our great audience and a great network of affiliates here Monday through Friday across the country. Our number, 877-876-7445, and, of course, online at philhenryshow.com. USC students outraged over offensive fraternity email calling women targets who aren't actual people like us men. Now, I raced through that headline because the bigger issue, and something we've talked about, probably I don't know of any other show that really goes into the detail on this subject that we do. There are some stories that are news stories only because there's a thing called the Internet. If there hadn't been a thing called the Internet, most of this would be relegated to a file that you and I both know as chicken stuff, right? Or otherwise known as chicken...
Yeah.
In other words, it is utterly and completely meaningless, and suddenly the normal bantering and posturing of a male fraternity at the University of Southern California becomes this outrageous sexist affront. Of course, these guys are a bunch of guys. They're in a college fraternity, and they sent an email that was offensive. Oh, there's a lot of stuff offensive. This word offensive, people will say, I'm offended by that. And what that means is, you better back up because you just did something bad.
Yeah, I know. Like people say, I'm offended. Almost like they're calling you the N-word or something.
Yeah. They're calling you. You're calling them the N-word. The Kappa Sigma fraternity at USC is under investigation by the school after an offensive email was made public. Are you kidding? It's a private school. I understand that. And it's a private school that members of my family went to. I didn't. I didn't have the money or the brains. But people in my family went to USC. And they're good people. And they're solid people. They're hardworking people. But it's a private university. And I don't know what happened to USC. They used to have a sense of humor over there. And they used to be a cut above UCLA in that they were a private school. And so they would get away with a lot more crazy crap than you could get away with at a UC campus. The email believed to have been written by one of the fraternity members intended to create some sort of list to detail sexual encounters. It was supposed to be the first in a series of emails called the Gullet Report, which was supposed to strengthen brotherhood and supposed to. How about this one? It was supposed to be funny. Did you get that one in there? Members of Kappa Sigma refused to comment to Channel 5 about the email, which has now gone viral on campus. Ask any student about the email. They're likely to have an opinion. Here's a portion of the email. I've come to write this memo to you today to educate you on the only life worth living, that of a, can I say this word? Coxman. A coxman is taught to live by the two most applicable principles I know, the pie and the gullet. You may already be lost in trying to comprehend. This is just a bunch of, I could go through the email, and I'm sure it's all double entendre, and has to do with sex, and has to do with chicks, and how they're better just with their mouths shut, and tied to a stove, and they're kidding, and they're fraternity guys, and this is guys being guys, and, oh, God. The internet has been a blessing. It's also a scourge because every little fist fight, every guy that short sheets a bed, everybody that throws a pie in someone's face, everyone that puts on a funky looking costume, it's all now subject to and could be a sign of heavy, heavy mental illness or a sociopathy or a psychopathy that is, you know, an indication of a criminal mind, you know. It's not just, hey, let's piss off the girls. Because if there's one thing that I'm going to just, let me lay it out for you as clearly as I can.
Yeah.
Don't get me pissed, man.
I'm not.
If there's one thing that makes guys laugh, it's yanking a woman's chain about her equality and about her place in life. Guys, we're all aware of the struggle that women have been through. We're all aware of what it is that women want. I'm talking about healthy men now, okay? And there are more of us than there aren't. We all appreciate that women want the things that life has to offer in equal measure to men. I got no problem with that, and I know men that I know have no problem with that. But if there is one thing that we like to do, we see how earnest women are about that, and we screw with them about it. There's nothing funnier than taking someone who's deadly serious about something and yanking their chain, man.
Yeah, but what do you mean by yanking a chain? That, you know. Yeah, it could be just sexist.
Oh, shut up. So, here are women, and if there's one thing that's indicative of women, and I hate to be sexist and stereotype them, but I think I will, women, when they get really serious about something, it takes them a while to get around to their sense of humor and go, oh, you mean you guys are kidding? Yes! And so I say to you, and I say to you, and I say to you, you, all of you out there, you're all members of the LAGO Volunteers. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director, of course, is Rick Johnson. And our associate producer, the great Dan Northcraft, on the phones, doing a great job as usual. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is available as well at philhenryshow.com. That is our website. That's where our archives are, our live-streaming video am, and all the other stuff that is so great on our website. And don't forget to pick up our CDs and our shot glass. And until tonight on KFI, this is Phil Henry. Forget it.
Phil Henry.